So this has been a week of correction for me. It's been a strong week of correction. So I'm not here to correct you. I'm here to share with you the correction that I received. And if the shoe fits, amen. It's funny because Nelly is talking about listening, and that's been part of God's conversation this week. How many of you feel like you listen to God? Show of hands. Let me see. Like, nah, listen. If God speaks to me, I do what he says. Like, I ain't trying to have no beef. Here's the problem with that, if we want to call it a problem. Ready for this? This might wind up going with my sayings. We think that because we've listened, that we're listening. We think because we've heard, we're hearing. We think because we received an instruction and followed it, that that's all there is to it. Oh no, I listened to the Lord with yesterday's ears, with last year's ears, with 5 months ago's ears. What ears are you listening to God with? Are you hearing something already? The scriptures, the word says his mercies are new every morning. I'm starting to find out if so are his instructions, right? His directions are new every morning. Because what I'm about to say is powerful. I want you to really lock in on this. So make sure you're paying me all your attention. Ready? Because every morning, God is dealing with a born again person. See if you caught that. God says to you to forget those things which are behind and press forward to the mark of the high calling, correct? Do you think he doesn't do the same? So every day he deals with you, he's dealing with a born again person. No. Not 1965 or 77 or 82 when you got born again. That very morning, today when you woke up, and you got before God, he's dealing with a born again person. Say again and again. So every day, God wants to deal with the new me, the me that he's calling me to, forgetting that which is behind. And I want to come to God with what everything I've been for the past year or 6 months. Or past month, or ever since I started this new thing, or ever since I started on this new path that you got me on. And everything that God, who understands where I'm going here, what I'm saying? So God is saying to me, I need you to come to me fresh, new, every day. I don't know how to do that. Good. Well, you have not because you asked not, but now that I'm telling you, the way I'm correcting you today, listen close, is not about your yesterday, it's about your today and your tomorrow. God's correction on you today is not about what you did yesterday or what you did last month or last week. It's about today and tomorrow, the present and the future. Are you receiving this? We have a tendency to keep wanting to deal with the God of yesterday. The I was, not the I am, but the I was. And God has been saying to me, can you please stop discussing your mistakes with me? I know them. I know them better than you do. I knew them before you were yet in your mother's womb. I knew you. I know you. I do not want to keep talking to you and dealing with you about who you were. Does scripture bear out with that? Yes, it does. I can give you a few stories. Abraham for one, Gideon for another. Gideon kept talking about what he was, what his family's legacy is, how, you know, what to say. And God was kept speaking to him in the day and in tomorrow. You're a mighty man of valor, and you will take the city as one man. You will take the whole city. So because we have the memory of what was, We are not being powerful in what we're called to be. On Vision Builders Call yesterday, after we went off of the recording, I said to everybody, allow God the opportunity to show himself in you the way he wants to. Give God the opportunity to show off the way he wants to show off on your behalf. Give him the chance to be all that he is in your life. Give him a chance to show up and show off. So I shared the story. I won't go into the whole thing, but it was a short story. So it was a story where Lil Wayne went over into the Emirates, you know, over there. And I don't know if it was Dubai or where it was. And they wouldn't let him off the plane with all his jewelry because he said it wasn't declared to customs. So they stopped him. So Lil Wayne said, well, I'm not leaving all his jewelry on the plane, so I'm just going to stay here on the plane. Well, the prince who hired him to come showed up at the plane. First, he checked everybody and put everybody in their place. Don't you ever do that to my guest. Then he says to Lil Wayne, I'm very sorry this happened. Very sorry. This should have never happened. I'm very sorry. Lamborghini or Ferrari? And Lil Wayne said he thought he was asking what's his preference. He said, Lamborghini. What color? He said, oh, for me? Black. It'll be at your door in 7 weeks. I'm very sorry that this happened. And I went, wow, what an apology gift. Lamborghini or Ferrari? I'm so sorry that this happened. Lamborghini or Ferrari? So I had Nutty had me look up. She said, well, how much they cost? About $100,000? I said, I don't even want to hurt you. Just go look them up. One of them sold for $117 million. as just an apology gift, Lamborghini or Ferrari. When we talked about Beyonce doing an hour show for how much was it? 45 million, 20, something like that. $25 million for an hour show out there. My point is, to people on that level, that kind of move or response is not awkward or weird. To us, it's like, and to them, they're like, yeah, Lamborghini and Ferrari, what you want? Watch this. I'm going somewhere. I said, and Nelly and I agreed to this morning in our prayer time, if he said to me, Lamborghini or Ferrari, I would say, the money that costs, give me, I'll take that. Why? Right? You all agree, right? Everybody's smiling, going like, yeah, give me the money. You know why? Lil Wayne didn't say that? Because he has that money. So the gift became more important than needing somebody to stick some money in their pocket. Because that's so outlandish for people. I don't want to say you. I don't want to speak that over you. I'm not going to put that in the air. Because that's so outlandish for some people. No, nobody here. We would go, shoot, I'd take the money. Of course you would. But if you had the money, you would take the gift and it wouldn't be that strange and foreign. It still would be a blessing. My homie just gave me a Lamborghini. But you do it. I was watching the video and I don't remember if the person gave it to Chris Brown or Chris Brown gave it to the person for their birthday. Somebody had a truck deliver a Lamborghini to his house. That's not unusual. So I said to Nelly, give you a case in point. If somebody said to you and your family, oh, we're going down to SeaWorld and this is going to be a great experience and we're going to go see the dolphins and swimming around and you know, you want to go? And she'd be like, that's outside of his apartment. You know, that's not exciting when it's part of your experience. When you're walking with God, God is not blown away by the things that we're blown away by. Lamborghini or Ferrari would not amaze God. I'm not talking about claiming Lamborghinis or Ferraris. That's not the point of the message. The point is, we keep trying to have a transaction with God like he's the friendly local neighborhood God and not the God who created heaven and earth and the whole universe. So we try to put God in this category of, well, if he would ask me that, I would say, I'd rather take the money. And God is like, no, it's things I do for you and want to do with you that is so much bigger than any money or any monetary value that you could ask for. So we're having a relationship with an omnipotent God as if he's the neighborhood grocer. Can we have this conversation? We're still trying to have a relationship with God on the level that we see ourselves, not on the level where, no, I believe God could do anything. No, you don't, because if you did, he would be doing it. And it's okay to acknowledge that and say, what do I need to do? So I'm going to read some scriptures in a minute, but I just want to put this down. Here's the way God has been challenging me. He said, what's your budget look like? Well, I'm paying my bill. I didn't ask you if you're paying your bills. What's your budget look like? How much you got coming in? How much you got going out? Which accounts handle what? Do you know what's going where and how? Or are you just kind of winging it as the day goes on, as the month goes on, making sure every money's in the account every month to pay the bills? Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing. Right. Because you were a finance person. You taught your ex how to do it. And you have not had to do it. But now you have to do it. You need to know your numbers. I get upset with Nelly if I say to her, how many bottles did you sell? This many. How much money you made? This much. After expenses? Oh, I don't really know that. How do you not know your numbers? And God said to me, you listening? How do you not know your numbers? How are you asking me for more when you're not even budgeting what you have? How are you asking me to bless you and increase you when you don't even have a system to manage the money that you have now? Well, I don't really make enough, so it don't make no sense to me. Okay, fine. And you're going to continue to stay there because you're not being obedient to manage what you have. So he said to me, I want you to pick apart every bill, everything, because it's coming from everywhere. Make sure you know where they're coming the way you used to do. Set up an account that pays the bills. Set up exactly what I taught you guys online. So that's why I taught that. She said, set up an account where the pay comes in, which I have that. Set up an account that pays bills and go back to giving yourself an allowance monthly like you used to do back in the day and stop just flowing with it. Yes, sir. So that's our charge. Nellie and I said, we're going to sit down tomorrow and we're going to have anything to do. And we're going to sit there. I'm going to show her the budget. I'm going to show her my budget. I'm going to show her how to budget. And I'm going to put everything in order. Let that set in a minute. We're called to be stewards of what God gives us. We're called to be disciplined in the thing that God shows us. We are called to be responsible. If you are responsible for little, he will bless you with much. That is the scripture. If you are faithful with little, meaning responsible, he will bless you with much. If you are faithful with little, he will bless you with much. If God dropped millions on me tomorrow, where am I? What am I doing with it? And how am I even handling it? Oh, I just give it to my financial advisor. No, what are you doing to put stuff in his place? We have to stop treating God like he comes through to pay bills. Why isn't God prospering me to the next level? He said, because you have no structure. I guess I'm going to talk about me. I'm not going to talk about you. I'm just going to talk about me, and you just do what you need to do with it, okay? So he says, some next level stuff. I need you to now start budgeting like a billionaire. I need you to start budgeting like a multimillionaire. I need you to start structuring like a person who has a company with 10,000 employees. Thank you, Celine. I need you to start structuring as if you are what you claim you are. Thank you, Lindsay. Are you with me, Ruth? And Audie, I'm going to stop saying thank you to everybody. You'll get it. Thank you, everybody. Are you understanding with me? Are we on the same page? So now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. Because when I thought about that, Lamborghini or Porsche? Porsche or Lamborghini? I went, this is a human. And that's amazing to us only because we're not in that world. But people in that world, that's not a big deal. To somebody who has that, it's like coffee or tea. If somebody came to you and said, I'm very sorry you were treated the way you were treated. Coffee or tea. You wouldn't be like, oh my God, he offered me a coffee or a tea. You know, you would say which one was your favorite and be grateful and go with. And that's how that level flows. It's amazing to us. And it will not be any further. We went through Matthew 6, and we went through all the way from the beginning all the way up to the Lord's Prayer. But this time, God began to share with me. He said, you're not finished with Matthew 6. I want you to go back. I want to call this message, anxiety for what? Anxiety for what? So after God talks this whole process, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, talks about be careful not to do your deeds in public. We went through that. So whatever you give to the poor, don't do it for people to see you. And we went through the whole thing of what hypocrisy was. Then we went to the Lord's Prayer and what his prayer was. Our Father who was in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. This is starting at verse 9. Your will be done. He said, pray like this. Your will be done. And I read it the way it is, the way it's stated in its original language. Our Father who is in heaven, your name is holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our job to do it. You give us every day our daily bread. You forgive us our debts, and we have forgiven those who have debt or trespassed against us, both wrong and resentment, all things. We ask you to forgive us, and we pray we forgive others. You don't lead us in temptation, but you deliver us from evil. For the kingdom belongs to you, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Right? And he went on and said, so don't forgive them their trespasses if you want to be forgiven yours. But today he said to me, now, this is where that the truth of that prayer starts to manifest in direction and instruction. You're with me? Okay. Starting at verse, I'm going to go with 25. I'm going to go with 25. Therefore, I tell you, stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy and distracted about your life. Stop right there. Therefore, I tell you, stop. Somebody say stop. Who's the instruction being given to? Not God. He's saying, ask me to stop you from being anxious. He didn't say that, right? He didn't say, therefore, I say to you, I will stop you from being anxious. This is a charge. It's an instruction. And if he's asked us to do it, we can do our things through Christ who strengthens us. Then we have the ability to stop. Somebody say stop. Okay. Therefore, I tell you to stop. That's the onus on you. Being worried or anxious or perpetually uneasy or distracted about your life, as to what you will eat and what you will drink, and about the body, what you should wear. Now, if we go back up, he said, if you do this, I'm trying to remember where it was, the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind. But when you pray, go into your private room and close the door, and your Father who sees everything in secret, which is done in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not play. Oh, yeah. That's not what I was looking for. But anyway, let's keep going. I don't want to get off course. So he says, don't be perpetually distracted or uneasy about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. I know it's not in the scripture, so let me add it. How you gonna pay the bills? How you gonna keep this thing going? You know, the thing that he called you to do, you know, who your husband's gonna be, who your wife's going to be, all these things. I know he didn't put that in there, so let me just put it in there. He said about your life, and the statement, your life covers all the miscellaneous. So he said, you're mostly talking about eating and drinking and food, but let me just put it all in there. He said, don't be worried or distracted or concerned about your life. So that's everything, okay? So you can create a miscellaneous column and drop all the stuff that you too much focused on right in that, right in there, all right? Put it right in the bucket. It fits. All right. So now that we've covered that, let's keep going. Why did he say this? He said, is not your life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow seeds or reap the harvest, nor gather crops into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father keeps feeding them, and yet your Heavenly Father keeps feeding them, and yet your Heavenly Father keeps feeding them, and yet your Heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Why am I doing that? Why am I beating that in? Why am I beating that in? Right? Not he will feed you today, but he keeps feeding them. Now, this is crazy because it says they don't sow, they don't gather, they don't put into barns. So let me put that into terms that you guys can relate, because I know that doesn't make sense. They don't work all day. They don't go out trying to collect a bunch of money. They don't be trying to put everything in the savings here, and they don't have a credit card and a debit card and an ATM, and they don't have a Zelle, and they don't have a PayPal, and they don't have any of that stuff, is what he's saying. Yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Don't tell me that word right there don't rub you funny. Don't tell me it don't. Because everything says the opposite of that. The way we were raised, the way we were taught, we are struggling to figure out how to keep this boat afloat. This is what life has taught us it's about. Some of us have been taught so thoroughly that that's what it's about, that even if God said Porsche or Lamborghini, you would say, can I just get a rise at my job? I just don't, because you don't believe. And I'm not talking about the cars. I'm talking about made that kind of offer. If your spirit's not in a place to receive it, you're not accepting that kind of gift. One, you feel unworthy. So watch this. Yet your Heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Aren't you better than the birds? So when Nellie said to me last week, she said she had a Lindsay kind of moment from back in the day, and probably still has them. I don't know if you still do or not, but she said to me, you know, I'm starting to feel like I maybe need to not be doing anything, because you just like sitting here chilling and then things just keep popping up for you. And I'm here busting my behind and, you know, and getting frustrated. And I said, I've been telling you for years to not do that. So, I mean, what do you want me to do? I've just come to the place that I just enjoy watching you get frustrated and do what you do, because as long as it don't affect me and get in my world, do what you do. Now, look, we're going to affect each other. Either she's going to get more like me or I'm going to get more like her. Well, God has told me there's more stuff I need you to do, but it's not running around like a chicken with a head cut off. He said, get your house in order, get your finances in order, get your budget in order. Now, that's not, he didn't say go out and get a job. You got to go out and see how many customers you can round up. You know, I'm watching God. God gave me a word that in this season, that the business that was going to prosper for us, that was going to get us to have what we need to keep financing everything else, was going to be Live Unique. And you know, Nellie jumped around and did a holy dance and everything. And I was like, yeah, sit down with all of that. Get that out your system and sit down, because you know me, I want to hear what he says when we're quiet. Not all that celebration stuff. That's great. Get the celebration off your system. But now what does that mean? Listen to me. So now what does that mean? God has spoke over each and every one of you that he's going to prosper you. He's going to bless you in some way. He's going to move you. And you probably jumped up out the throne room and went running down the hallway, screaming and shouting and running around. God going to make a move. God going to make a move. And God was like, you didn't even stay still long enough for me to tell you what the next step was and what move I'm going to make. You all going the wrong direction. No, I remember it was a time God spoke to me. He says, every time I say go, you jump up and run. You don't even stop to listen to where I'm getting ready to say. I'm going to get ready to say, go next door. You go running down the block. Like, be still and let me finish directing you. Because with every instruction to greatness, there is a plan. March around the city 7 times. Put the band in front. Let the band sing for 7 days. What army thinks that that's a good idea? We going to war. But we just gonna walk quiet behind the band for 7 days. I, truthfully speaking, I as a band member, I'm not really up for that idea. You know what I'm saying? That's just like, wait, do I, I'm gonna have a gun? Oh, so you just want me to walk around playing my bass around a fortified city with people with weapons? You sure? Let's go. Let me get. I need to pray and fast a couple of days on this one, because you know, because you asking me to walk out in front of soldiers and troops with instruments. This is how God instructs. So when he says, I'm going to make you successful, and when he says, I'm going to bless your business, I'm going to bless your plans, I'm going to bless your dreams, there's a process that he's going to then ask you to follow. Okay, so watch this. Without going into a lot of detail, Esther, do you remember when you came and we sat down and I got before God to get your plan for success to get to Broadway? Do you remember it was step by step by step? Do this, then do that, then say this, then no, don't say that. Okay, now go over here. Okay, no, don't go over there. Okay, meet with this person. No, don't talk to him. There was such a strategic thing, and some of it made no sense, but there was this process. And that process followed got us to exactly where we said, in the time frame in which we said it would happen. Now, when God's telling you don't worry, there's a plan now. It's not don't worry, just sit there and don't do nothing. There's don't worry, don't be anxious, but there's a plan. And I'm gonna finish reading this and I'm gonna bring it home. But you're gonna walk away with something that's gonna cure, if you listen to it, the whole anxiety problem once and for all. And you may have to read this scripture every day for a while until the anxiety thing doesn't have power anymore. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap harvest, they don't gather crops into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than them? Who by worrying can add 1 hour to the length of his life? And why are you worried about clothes? To see the lilies of the field, right? They grow. They do not labor, they do not spin wool or make clothing. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory and splendor dressed himself not like one of these. Watch this, here we go. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive and green today and tomorrow is cut and thrown into the fire for fuel, will he not much more clothe you? Will he not much more? Will he not much more? Will he not much more, somebody say much more, clothe you, then he insults you. And this is the part I wanted to get in. Then he insults you. Oh, you of little faith. Please don't pass that by like that's just a nice little saying. Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little. No, that's insulting. That's a rebuke. That's a correction, that's a charge, that's a whole bunch of stuff that's almost a little bit mean. I know you never saw it that way, but I'm gonna help you out right now. Watch this. Without faith, what's the rest of it? It's impossible to please God. So he just said, oh, you of little faith, mean you have no possibility, a very slight possibility of pleasing God. That's insult. That's a strong statement. Oh, you of little faith is not light. They didn't take that. Oh, that was cute. He said, oh, you of little faith. That's very poetic. That's a very strong charge. You, people of faith, that's supposed to live by faith, the just shall live by faith, and all of this kind of stuff. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't have that, or very little of it. That's not something to skip over. That's something to stop and pause about. Because if God has to say to me, because you're worrying about food and clothes and how you're going to eat and how you're going to survive, that you lack faith or you are of little faith, then right away I need to say, okay, wait a minute. So when his disciples couldn't cast the demon out the boy, and they said, Lord, why could we not do it? He said, because you lack faith. And then he went on to walk them to the process of why they lacked faith. So they understood, watch this close, the children of Israel, listen to me close, because this is why I'm bringing it home, that the lack of faith was very tantamount to them not receiving from God or walking with God or pleasing God the way they should. Look at all the stories in the Bible when God gave them an instruction in faith and they went the other way and the ground opened up and swallowed them up and they made golden calves because God ain't going to deliver us. And he was irritated and frustrated with them. How long must I put up with you? How much? Jesus said it several times. How much longer do I have to deal with you? This is not something or a place that we want to be. This is not where we want to be. Sitting in anxiety and worry and wondering if God can do what he said he can do, because that displays us as being a people of little faith. And let me just say this to you. That's not a light statement. How many of you would like God to see you and instead of saying, well done, my faithful servant, say, oh, you of little faith? How many times have God had to say to us, oh, you of little faith? I would say, just speaking for myself, too many. So when he says, oh, you of little faith, I'm like, wow. So let's move on. Therefore, do not worry or be anxious or perpetually uneasy or distracted saying, what am I going to eat? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to keep this business open? How am I going to do what God called me to do? What am I going to wear? When am I going to get the money for this? Why? He said, because pagans, the Gentiles, eagerly seek after these things. Because when you do this, you are acting like a godless person. When you do this, you're acting like a person who worships statues and idols. When you do this, you are acting like a pagan. I'm not saying this. This is red letters. Jesus says, don't worry about how you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to do. But I've been not trying to worry. I've been trusting God. It's been happening. Then you ain't been trusting God. You've been trying to figure out how to get God to help you. But you haven't been trusting God. I'm going to say that three more times if I need to. You have not been trusting God. You've been trying to figure out how to get God to help you. You've been trying to get God to help you figure out how you're going to do the thing that you've decided or the thing you've already decided you can't do. You're not trusting God. You got your own little plan and you're trying to get God in the middle of it. Ooh, it's quiet right now. I don't see no hearts or thumbs up or nothing going up the screen right now. That's all right, but it's true. Take that and stick it in your back pocket. You have to trust him, not try to get him to help you or to ask him to trust you. The way God said to me a long time ago, I never forget it, and I'll bring it up right now. God said to me, I created you in my image. Don't return the favor. Nobody asked you to recreate me in your image. For the pagans eagerly seek these things. And don't worry, he said. Your father knows that you need them. This is huge. He's saying it's not wrong that you desire them. It's not wrong that you're seeking, but don't freak out and panic and be anxious. There's nothing in here about, because people say, nope, seek ye first the kingdom of God. No, he talked about food and clothes and raiment and bills and stuff you got to cover. He said, don't be anxious or worried about them. There's no scripture where he says, do not seek them. You take care of your family. You got family to feed. You got bills to pay. God understands that. He said, the key word is what? Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't be frustrated. Don't be freaking out. Don't be coming to God crying every night about what you don't have. Don't panic. Don't make deals with the devil just to try to get you through for the week. Don't keep substituting truth with lies so you can try to get over. You think God's stupid? God's not stupid. You think that he don't see that even though you pretending to be submitted to him in this season and time is only because you want to get from him what you want? You think he don't see that? He sees it. He knows you still worry. You still panic. If I moved for you tomorrow, you'd be freaked out of your mind. Oh, my God. Oh, thank you, God. Because you didn't see it coming. I go back to the first point. Lamborghini or Ferrari? Little Wayne, oh, my God. You can't give me a Lamborghini. It's part of the life. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of them, but do not worry. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of them, but do not worry. God knows what your needs are. And the people said, amen. Say, God, you know. But first and most importantly, seek, aim, and strive after the kingdom of God and being right with him, his righteousness. Seek after the kingdom of God's righteousness, his way of doing and being right. His way of doing and being right, not yours. His way of doing and being right. The attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. See, he's not saying seek the kingdom and forget about these things. He said seek the kingdom first, put it first, put it in front of your anxiety, put it in front of your concerns, put it in front of your worries, and all of these things will be given to you also. Also, what's also with what? With the right attitude and the character of God. If that's the attitude and character you have, all those things will be given to you also. There's never a place in here where he says you cannot seek him for these things. He said the thing is you should not be worried. And if you're going to ask him with the simple confidence that you are the Father of heaven and earth and you can provide. I'm just laying it down here and leaving it. That's why I told Nelly, your prayers need to get shorter and shorter. You spend too much time asking. Spend more time just worshiping and thanking. I've taught you these guys, you guys, this stuff over and over again. How can you can sit there and just be so calm? Because I've seen him provide. Again and again and again. We went in the storage room and we found the cards. We dug this box, that box. I was like, Kwame, what's in that box? And he opened, read the thing in the box. I was like, ooh. And we pulled it down, and there it is. And we haven't even, I haven't even made the move yet to go to the guys. I extended my stay another week so we could possibly get out there and take them. But we already know. And to me, I'm like, but that's nothing. You know, it's something, but it's nothing. That's what, $60,000, maybe $100,000? Who knows? But that's $100,000 somebody else don't have. My point is, I'm not shocked anymore when God does that. But God said, if you want me to do it on a Porsche Lamborghini level, I need you to clean up your finances. I need you to get your house in order. These are the things that God will ask you to do. Who's bearing witness with what I'm saying right now? Get your house in order financially. Get your stuff together. I know people that they'll talk that crap all the time and God, and you ain't got nothing to show for it. Where's the fruit of your God? Watch this. The people who talk the most have the least. I've never seen that to be the opposite. But here's the key. God is, for everybody who's trying to say, oh, God don't care about finances and that, the scripture clearly said right here, he knows you have need. He didn't say, and I know you have want of these things. He said, I know you have need of these things. I want to make sure you understand this. I know that you need it. Isn't that what Jesus said? He knows you need it. But the way you go about getting it needs to change. No anxiety, no panic, no fear. First and most importantly, seek after, strive after the kingdom of God, his way of doing and being right, and the attitude and the character of God. And all these things will be given to you also. It comes with it. I'm gonna take it to a scripture. It says, in all your Proverbs, in all your getting, get wisdom. And with that, get wisdom, for it shall come to you with wealth and honor in one hand and length of days in the other. Is that not scripture? So this is the same thing being said a different way. Don't worry about that stuff. Get God, get his wisdom, get his understanding, insight, knowledge of God. Get that. Why you think I went through that whole season, whole year of teaching that again and again? And all you're getting, get wisdom, get insight, get understanding, get knowledge of God. And with that, all these things will be given to you also. All these things? It didn't say some of those. He said all of it. God, I just want to wrap this up. But do you understand that God wants to give you all of it? Thank you, Edward. Somebody receives it. Do you understand that he wants to give you all of it? He said, just do this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you also. Put your focus on getting this thing with me straight. And all those things, I got you. Why? You just read it. I'm not making it up. And if people probably watch this message that totally disagree with me, and I could tell them to go bump themselves. Because the truth of the matter of it is, this is what Jesus said. And your Father, Heavenly Father, knows that you need these things. Ain't no way he said, no, that's evil. Don't be seeking me about stuff. As long as you got enough to eat for the night, that's all you should care about. He didn't say that. He said, the birds of the air, the grass of the field, abundance. Solomon ain't even that. And we already know how wealthy Solomon is. He said, listen, don't get caught up in that. Keep me first. Seek my kingdom and righteousness. And all of this will come with it also. And I know I'm standing as I want to read this last sentence, but I just want to make sure you get this. You listening? You listening? Shake your head. Yeah, you're listening to me. He said, all these things will be given also. Also means, listen close, along with. Right? Also means along with, correct? That includes something else, right? So that means minus the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things also. So if you lack in the other things, maybe because they're not connected to the also. Don't beat yourself up. Get before the throne and say, God, help me refocus. Because my focus has been too much on what I think. And I know people like that I talk to regularly that swear they love and walk with God. Oh my goodness, you can't tell them they don't. You can probably quote scripture better than me. And their life is miserable. Or they just can't seem to get over this one hump that they've been stuck with for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And I'm like, then the kingdom's not first. No, you ain't gonna tell me that. I'm like, okay, then fine. Then the kingdom is first. Good luck with that. Either the principles work or they don't. If they're not working for you, then the out of order thing is not what God's timing. The out of order thing is that you're not in time with God. That's it, period. Just let's stop the BS, right? And we have to be okay to say, you know what? Let me be accountable. Not beat yourself up, not shame yourself. Let the construction begin, God. What needs to happen? Now, they say, I want to hear a bunch of black women. They always make these jokes and remarks online or these comments online that black women are the most unaccountable women on the planet, right? That they just want to accept responsibility and not accountable for anything, right? I know that that's not the case here, right? We all know that that's a lie, right? We don't receive that, right? We're accountable. Before God, forget about man, because you can't be accountable before man if you can't be accountable before God. Right now, make the decision to say, God, show me where I need to make the corrections so I can make them. That's it. No shame, no sackcloth and ashes, laying out on the street corner, sleeping on the street. Just get before your Father and say, show me this. And the last verse. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today, get right before God. Get before God and say, God, show me my flaws. Show me where I'm missing it. And I was saying to God, okay, God, I've never had a season where stuff wasn't coming in. I think you have enough reserve, but I'm not used to this. And after I got before him and prayed and said, you know, where is it? He said, well, first of all, you got to come to me without this heaviness because I'm not going to respond to that. So I had to go back and pray, check myself and say, right, why am I coming before you like you, like you punishing me or something? And I went and got my spirit clear and I came back and he gave me this scripture. And I said, well, God, right, you take care of me. You've been taking care of me my whole life. Show me what I'm doing. And he said, your finances are not in order. Your budget's not in order. You're not doing it the right way. And you need to line back up with that. Now, I'm going to say this to you before I wrap up. I want you to listen to me close. I know without a doubt. I want you to listen to me close. I know without a doubt, not even a shadow of doubt. Listen to me again. No hesitation. No, let me see. No, I'll give it a shot. I know without a doubt that the moment I stop putting that stuff in order, the finance is going to come flowing through, like busting through like a floodgate. I already know it. Does that irritate some of you? Does that make you feel a little funny or uncomfortable? I know without a doubt that the moment I do what he told me to do, I've been waiting for this answer. Not for the money. I have not been saying, God, just please come on, send the money. Send the money, Jesus. I'm like, God, what do I need to do? We did that one video, it went through the roof. What do I need to do? He said, you're not ready yet for me to pour the floodgates out. Your finances are not in order. Your house is not in order financially. Budget your finances. Get it ready. Set up as if you're about to do a multi-billion dollar venture. You're not. You're setting up right now for, you know, what you're used to so far. You need to set up like you believe in that I'm getting ready to pour into you. If you believed that I was going to really pour into you, into your warehouses, you would go build a bigger warehouse. You're not building one. If you really believed I was going to pour on you in abundance, you would put things in place to receive the pour out. You don't have that. Who am I talking to right now? If you really believed I was going to do it, you would already be putting, you would be putting yourself a container in place to receive. You just went and opened the trunk of your car. If you really believed I was going to do what I was going to do, you would go buy yourself a big tractor trailer dumpster, or you would go get buy yourself a lot so it could be filled. You don't believe what you think you believe because you haven't put anything in place to receive what you said I'm going to do. Guess who will have that done by the end of the day Monday? Because I'm not missing out. God knows you have need. He's put a lot of those desires on you. He didn't put the anxiety. That's something that you and the enemy mixed in. Clear out your yard. Get the weeds out. Get all that junk out of there. Get it out of there. Get it out of there and watch what he does. I pray that the word of God has blessed you. May the word that you heard bring God's blessings to you. I hope you receive and hear this. I just want to say a prayer before I go. Father, there's such a balance to this because somebody will see this or hear this and think it's all about money. But those who are mature understand it's not about money. It's about us making money God over you by thinking that you are somehow limited. You're not limited. So I know, spiritually speaking, for me, Porsche and Lamborghini, spiritually speaking, I can have both. And I know that I need to get the house in order and prepare for the moves that I'm believing you for. I know I have a lot of work to do, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's not a lot. It's a little bit of work once you work with me. So thank you for everything. Thank you for prospering me and prospering us to the point that we are and where we are today. Thank you for blessing us and keeping us where we are today. Thank you for that we have a roof over our head and food to eat today. Thank you that we have overcome so many things already in the past. So we're batting 1,000 every time we come to the bat, no matter how bad it looks, you always bring us through. And we want to use that track record to say, you got us then, you got us now. We're not going to worry. We thank you for the victory that is ours, already ours. Lord, thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you that our hearts and minds are clear. We are beyond great in you. For those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Lord is saying. This word is for those who wish to hear. And we thank you for the victory. In the name of our Savior, Jesus, Yeshua Mashiach, we give you full praise, honor, and glory. and amen.